This is CFBX 92.5 FM.
And welcome to Loopholes again here on CFBX 92.5 FM, 92.5 The X. I'm Chris Albinati here with
Jay Michie.
How are you doing, Jay?
I'm doing all right today, Chris. How are you?
I'm tired, I'll admit, but I won't admit that in my tone here.
Oh, okay. That's
it won't reflect in the show, I hope.
I took a sabbatical day yesterday, and I just feel so incredibly recharged.
Yeah. Yeah,
my reservoir has been repleted.
Absolutely, taking a day back is what one needs. Mental health.
Mm-hmm. And there's no reading break right now. I guess we have a long weekend coming up, so I'm gonna call that a reading break. I know I'll be doing a lot of reading this weekend.
If I get to do anything but reading, I'll be happy. So we've got a fairly decent show for you today. Not following up on our five live guests that we had last week from the Occupy Kamloops site.
Yeah, it was
some incredible news developments in the Occupy movement since then. Vancouver is being evicted. Occupy Victoria is being evicted. Toronto Mayor Rob Ford said he'd like to evict Occupy Toronto. Occupy London was forcibly removed.
Calgary Mayor Nahed Nenshi got himself into some hot water and involved in a Twitter debate about the Occupy movement. He's not evicting. He was getting some flack from some outspoken members of the, I wouldn't call them the media, I guess the Twitter sphere.
Yes.
About the city's decision not to take a strong stand against the occupiers there in Calgary.
Yes. It seems.
Yeah.
So that's what's been happening in the Occupy movement, I guess, since then. But locally, some other news has been happening in the last week or so.
Yeah, actually, last week one of our guests, Anil, he pointed out. He said, "I'm sure you are well aware," which I was not. I'm not sure if you were. He was referring. I'm sure you're aware, says Anil, that the Compassion Club was raided and the owner arrested. I shook my head at the time. You wouldn't have been able to see that, but I was not aware. I'm sure a lot of people are not aware, but of course there's been a lot of focus in the local media around this since then. And we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about it today, because I see some legal challenges to this situation. We're having a very, very...
spirited debate?
Yeah, spirited discussion with one of our professors just this afternoon about this. He was thinking about coming onto the show today, but he might have to show up next week to.
He's postponed for later.
Postponed, yeah. Well, after he hears what we have to say today, he just might be compelled to show up and to provide a little bit of clarity.
Yes.
So maybe a bit of a disclaimer is in order today. We will be talking about this issue. I might say a few things that are not necessarily a legal position, more of a policy or a moral position. That I happen to have, and I think Chris, you might have a very similar opinion on this subject.
Well, notwithstanding, we should always repeat that this is just a student-run show, and that we aren't giving any legal advice.
No, we talk law and politics, but
we want to make clear that all of the things that are said, comments otherwise, by either guests or your formidable hosts, Jay and I, are always our own opinion, not those of either the legal profession or of the station.
Or the faculty.
Or the faculty.
Or the university.
Or the Student Law Society, of which one of us is an apt representative.
Right. So I leave that hat at the...
There's a hat rack outside the studio door for Jay to put his president hat on, and I believe a gavel hook. JJ hangs his gavel. It's not brought into the studio. So we are just Jay and I talking on the radio. So we're going to get to some music to give ourselves a little bit of breathing space and a chance to collect ourselves. Gloomy outside. It's about 5 minutes after 3 o'clock. You're listening to 92.5 FM, The X, broadcasting to you from Kamloops, British Columbia, Canada. I'm going to play a little post-war blues, a new track by Dan Mangan. Give it a listen. Ooh.
Let's start a war for the kids, a purpose for which to unite. Make them some words they can mince. What they don't know, they won't mind. Find them a foe for the fight. And stories to tell as they age. Then maybe time will decide which ones keep and which ones fade. There's the deepest sleep in my blood, from which I am slowly coming to. And every morning insightful again. But I can't see, I can't fight. Make me a fire to burn. Burn all the letters I wrote. Write me a list of concerns. If we are at peace, if we are at the deepest sleep in my blood, from which I am slowly coming to. And every morning I wait for the news. Oh, this is post-war
Dan Mangan with Post-War Blues here on CBX 92.5 FM. I guess this is moving us into our next segment, a little uncued music. Talking about PSAs, maybe.
A PSA?
A PSA, public service announcement.
We got one here. It's apt for the season. November's Day, Remembrance Day season. A wartime sing-along in honor of those who waved goodbye will be held at Sahali Center Mall on Wednesday, November 9th at 2 p.m. That's today.
That
already happened. That's happening as we speak.
Oh.
Okay, sorry. Let's try again.
It's like these little slips of paper we have. They're like fortune cookies almost. Yeah. Kind of reading your fortune. The Kamloops Honor Choir and the Kamloops Thompson Children's Choir will be performing their concert, A Technicolor Christmas, at Sagebrush Theater on Sunday, December 11th at 6:30 p.m. The Honor Choir will sing pieces from the musical Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and the Children's Choir will perform seasonal music. Admission is by donation. Excellent, excellent.
I got one that's talking about something in the future. For the month of November, the Courthouse Gallery, 7 West Seymour Street, presents Almost Christmas, a visual feast of locally made fine art and craft by member artists. The gallery is brimming with paintings, tapestries, photography, pottery, stained glass, textiles, jewelry, and much, much more. As an added feature is Tiny Tidings, small, one-of-a-kind artworks for stocking stuffers and token gift items. There is no HST on sales, and the gallery has free parking and handicapped accessibility. Hours of operation are Tuesday to Friday, 10 to 5, and Saturday, 10 to 4. We'll do one more later on.
Yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
We've done our rock and roll duty.
That's right. I'm all thumbs today, Jay. I'm not sure what I'm doing.
Oh, okay.
I think it's the weather. I just hit a button or unplugged the cord, and then the music cut out. So, let's go on to our news segment.
Some talk,
yeah. This is what we are here for. Talk about some stuff. That's why the music doesn't want to cooperate with us. So, you're listening to Loopholes on CFBX 92.5 FM.
Where we talk about the law sometimes.
Yes, sometimes.
And politics and policy and the confluence of those things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Things so always in relation to.
Yeah, yeah. So one of our guests last week, Anil, pointed out to us that the local Canadian Safe Cannabis Society Compassion Club, as it's referred to, was raided by the RCMP on November 1st. The proprietor of this location, I'm going to choose my words as carefully as possible here, is a fellow by the name of Carl Anderson. This business, they use the word business over and over again, so I'll use the word business, although there's some question about that. He has not been in business very long, about a year, I think, mm-hmm. And the RCMP have had an investigation going on for the last 4 months. There's some debate about whether the focus of the investigation was the fact that they were dispensing marijuana to individuals who do not have the required paperwork from Health Canada to use marijuana medically, mm-hmm. Or whether or not they were just investigating the business, as it were, mm-hmm. Because they're dispensing marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
There's a complicated regulation out there known as the Marijuana Medical Access Regulation, which was implemented about 10 years ago. Canada was one of the first countries, if not the first country, to legalize marijuana for the purpose of for medical treatment. Obviously, there are other countries out there that have legal marijuana, period, but we're the first to implement this complicated regime where it is illegal unless you are sick, and then when you're sick, there are specific ways you can get your medical marijuana. Those ways are getting it directly from Health Canada, growing it yourself, up to 49 plants, or to designate somebody else to grow it for you.
Yes.
But what you cannot do is go to a medical marijuana dispensary to obtain your medical marijuana. There are a number of these across Canada, and they are operating outside of the law. Let me put it that way. So the local RCMP have been investigating this Compassion Club in particular for the past 4 months. They finally felt that they had a case. They went to go get a warrant. Now, this is an interesting part of the story. From what I have read, they were not able to get a warrant from any local judge. They had to go to Burnaby to get a warrant. Interesting. Yeah. Take from that what you will. But once they obtained this warrant, they showed up on November 1st. It seems that Mr. Anderson knew that they were coming as he was sitting in front of the door of this place before they got there.
Mm-hmm.
They asked him to move away from the door so that they could search the premises and seize any marijuana they might find. Indeed, they did find some. Go figure, to find marijuana at a marijuana dispensary. They found some, and they did, once they finally got him to move out of the way, now this will come up later,
yeah.
But once they got Mr. Anderson to move out of the way, they went in, they seized not only marijuana, but a bunch of business records, and they arrested him.
Hmm.
They handcuffed him. Now, it should be pointed out that Mr. Anderson was not cooperative. It does not appear that he was cooperative throughout any of this.
Right. And this is from this news report out of the BC Local News.
Oh, okay. I'm going to be citing a few different, but right now I am citing the news report. It's Tim Petrick's November 2nd article from the BC Local News.
Okay, perfect.
We've also the Kamloops Daily News and Kamloops Weekly have also written quite extensively on this story.
Yes. So, yes.
Thanks, Chris. But yeah, so they basically arrested him, took him to jail. He spent time overnight in the jail cell, and when he was told he could leave the next morning, this is where it gets really interesting, Mr. Anderson refused to leave.
Refused to leave the jail?
Refused to leave the jail.
A sit-in.
Kind of a sit-in, yeah. And then I guess he spent some more time in the cell, and then he was encouraged in a variety of different ways to leave until he was finally forcibly removed. Now, this is where Mr. Anderson alleges that one of the RCMP officers, got him into a throat hold and choked him to unconsciousness. That he was then forcibly removed and dumped on the sidewalk. Then he decided to go back into the police station, where he stayed in the lobby for several hours while his members of his family tried to convince him to leave. And then he had a long discussion with a superintendent of the RCMP officer who finally convinced him to leave. He is now facing charges for trafficking. No charges have been laid yet, it should be mentioned. But he is facing charges for trafficking and obstruction of justice, since he wouldn't let the police officers into the premises to begin with. So that's my best recitation of the facts. I accept that there may be, and our listeners should accept that there may be some inconsistencies in my recitation of the facts and what actually happened.
Yeah, no, I'm just wondering if maybe there was somebody who's there, maybe an eyewitness who's happened to be listening to this show could actually get in touch with us at true.loopholes@gmail.com and let us know, and we'd love to hear more about the eyewitness account on this particular incident.
Right.
So
anyways, that's how it seemed to play out. Now, you can ask a lot of questions coming from this. Why did Mr. Anderson not cooperate with the police when they showed up to search the premises? Why did he not want to leave the jail cell when they told him he could leave? There's a number of questions that arise about what Mr. Anderson alleges the RCMP did in the process of removing him from the station, and obviously what the RCMP says they did. There's a dramatic difference between that account of the facts. And then there are all these much broader questions about why the RCMP is raiding the Compassion Club. Why there are Compassion Clubs? Why are there marijuana dispensaries? Why are they not worked into the regulatory scheme that we have? Big questions.
Yeah.
Big questions. I don't know if I'll answer them right now. But we could maybe we'll have a song, because I feel like I've been talking for a few minutes.
Sure, we have talked a lot. Yeah, a lot of information to process, I guess, and just to think about. But let's have a song. Let's digest and come back and go from there. All right.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
In light of this, we're gonna play a little Hawksley Workman, aptly titled "Smoke Baby."
To hell, all this rock and roll, baby, only time will tell. But we're young now, having fun now, on the time now, get around now, it's fine for now, but someday we'll settle down, but not now, baby. Smoke, baby, smoke, baby, more alcohol, baby, cocaine in Montreal, and rock out on the plane, baby, and a flight we'll leave, and on it will be me, yeah.
Ooh.
little Hoxley Workman to mellow us out and get us ready for this next segment. We've been talking about the Compassion Club here in Kamloops and an incident that happened on November 1st in regards to the RCMP arresting maybe or detaining the...
I think it was an arrest.
Proprietor. Yes. Yeah. Apparently, it was certainly an arrest then of the proprietor and the guy who runs it. And in terms of the warrant they got, we had one person write into this and clarify. He does some work in the legal field here in Kamloops and is more aware of such things, which is always good. We always accept people to clarify for us because clearly we don't know.
We don't know all the time.
So he writes in and says, cops all over the province regularly get their warrants by fax from a JJP at the Justice Center in Burnaby. It's not that a justice or a judge here would not have issued a warrant, but they probably never tried, or a justice or judge wasn't available when they wanted the warrant. So they faxed it to Burnaby. It happens regularly. They didn't actually physically go to Burnaby is, I think, the point there, which I think might have been the misinterpretation we got from the news article.
Yeah, well, it wasn't actually the news article itself. It was not a very strong source, but it was a comment following the article. So, yeah. I mean, I have to admit, I kind of liked the image of a couple RCMP getting into a car and driving all the way to Burnaby. And
road trip.
Yeah.
Super trooper thing kind of thing.
Going to go see a judge in a more favorable jurisdiction or something. So, yeah, I know I wasn't throwing that in there just to try and make it sound...
We're not trying to color the...
No.
The RCMP.
Definitely not. So...
So with that clarified, we'll turn our attention to the incident at the Compassion Club, and I guess the larger policy issues surrounding similar types of clubs. This is an unexclusive case. There are more medical marijuana dispensaries throughout the country. So I guess we'll turn to the question: why does it seem so confusing in Canada?
Well, it is confusing because the. We have a couple pieces of legislation that should be discussed. First of all, there is the Controlled Substances Act. That is the modern day equivalent of the former Narcotic Control Act. That sort of looms around this whole issue. Obviously, you cannot escape. This is a major piece of legislation. But then we also have this separate marijuana medical access regulation. Why it's not called the Medical Marijuana Access Regulation would make more sense, but it's called the Marijuana Medical Access Regulation, and it basically says that a person can go and get a note from their doctor that says they would benefit from the treatment of using medical marijuana. Then it outlines three specific ways they can get access to medical marijuana. One is to go directly through Health Canada. One is to grow their own marijuana, up to 49 plants. Or the other one is to delegate somebody else to grow it for you. What you can't do, we've already said this, is go to a dispensary to get your medical marijuana.
So that's where the designation line ends. So you can't designate a dispensary to grow it for you.
That's right. No, it has to be another person who is licensed to grow marijuana for their own use because of medical reason. In this case, we are talking about this fellow Carl Anderson, our local man who was arrested here. Mm-hmm. He is licensed to grow marijuana for his own use, but he's not licensed to be able to dispense it. And so the Compassion Club here in Kamloops is part of a non-profit group called the Canadian Safe Cannabis Society, the CSCS. There's another group out there that I'd like to draw attention to, and they're called the Canadian Association of Medical Cannabis Dispensaries. They're separate from CSCS. They're the CAMCD. Actually, they have an incredible website, and I'm going to read it out right now. It's www.camcd-acdcm. So that's .ca. So it's a French and English website. It's if you familiarize with yourself with this website, you will immediately realize that this is not a group of stoners putting their thoughts down on paper. This is very well researched, well articulated academic publications, and most recently they produced a publication in July that is all around incorporating the medical dispensaries into the regulatory framework. This report talks about important issues like patient intake, patient information, how this is going to affect healthcare services in the province, or in the country, rather. How it affects healthcare practitioners, documentation, verification, physicians. It also talks at length about the costs of dispensaries being incorporated into the regulatory framework to the government, to the healthcare system, all highlighting savings that they anticipate will actually be, and this is important, we know when our healthcare system's costs are spiraling out of control, when we have qualified research that's telling us that implementing dispensaries into the regulatory framework is actually going to save us money in the long run. This is something I think that the general public should be aware of when considering this issue.
Yeah, and on that note, I mean, going hand in hand with rising costs, criminal costs are also going to skyrocket, and that is even more so with the looming Bill C-10 that is currently being tabled, talked about ad nauseum in all forms of media about the conservative government's omnibus crime bill, as it's called, which combines a whole bunch of different progressive changes. I guess I hesitate to call them progressive changes, but changes nonetheless to the way things will happen, mandated minimum sentences and things like that. So how will this affect the criminalization, I guess, of
marijuana? A whole different can of worms, Chris. Actually, I don't know. I'm not an expert on C-10. I know a lot of it has to do with violent crime and guns and crime in connection with guns. There's also the argument being put forward by proponents of Bill 10 that actually mandatory minimum sentences don't necessarily lead to more jail time or more sentences, but that can actually encourage alternative forms of remediation and sentencing to be dealt out instead of just giving harsher sentences. So that's out there as well. I don't know. Anyways,
actually, on that note, that's a good segue into something I just wanted to highlight, and we can continue back on this story. But it leads up to next week, which will be the National Restorative Justice Week.
Right,
The National Restorative Justice Symposium is being held in Kamloops starting on Sunday. So this is something that I, as a law student, will be attending, and both Monday and Tuesday, and I'll check back next week with a full report, something to tell you guys about in terms of what the symposium was about, and what I learned, what restorative justice is about, and how it sort of fits into the legal system here in Canada in terms of some of the things you're talking about, in terms of finding methods of dealing with harm and other sorts of violence in that way. So I'll say to that, I'll check back next week.
I look forward to hearing about how that conference goes. I just wanted to reiterate one more time, just to hear about this report I was yabbering on about the Canadian Association of Medical Cannabis Dispensaries. Look it up. These folks have laid out the argument in favor of incorporating dispensaries into the regulatory framework very succinctly. I'd be hard pressed to find somebody who, having familiarized themselves with this website, not think that we're doing something wrong here.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Well, we could maybe talk a little bit about the history of medical marijuana in a bit, if you wanted to, or we could go on to a Latin segment after a song.
Maybe. Oh, wait, let's hear a song.
Let's hear a song. Let's get to a song. I've got one here. We're going to listen to a little bit of the Kinks. Do you like the Kinks, Jay?
Yes, I do.
You do. So do I. The Kinks are underappreciated, I found, so to speak. Always overshadowed, it seemed, in their time by the Beatles and by the other Brit rockers.
I like the Kinks, but I'm not like everybody else.
This is true. So, the Kinks, I'm not like everybody else.
I won't take all that they hand me down. They can't I smile, though I will frown. And I'm not gonna take it all lying down. Cause once I get started, I go to town. Cause I'm not like everybody else. 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 And I don't wanna roll around like everybody else. And I don't wanna live my life like everybody else. And I will say that I'm fine like everybody else. Cause I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else. But darling, you know that I love you true. That you want me to confess all my sins like you want me to. There's one thing that I will say to you. I'm not like everybody else. 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 And I don't wanna live my life like everybody else. And I won't say that I'm fine like everybody else. Cause I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else. Like everybody else. Like everybody else. Like everybody else. Settle down, slow up and stop all my running down. Do everything like you want me to. There's one thing that I will say to you. I'm not like everybody else. 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 And I don't wanna run around like everybody else. And I don't wanna live my life like everybody else. And I don't wanna sleep fine like everybody else. Cause I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else. Like everybody else.
Like everybody else.
Like everybody else.
Like everybody else.
Jars of color on the fence by the lane, left for the morning in the snow and the rain. And I wonder if they'll spill into the night. And I wonder how she'll ever sleep tonight. Sleep tonight. stop tonight till the morning shows a face to me. One drop tonight. Give me one drop tonight till the morning shows a face to me. One drop tonight. Give me one drop tonight till the morning shows a face to me. One drop tonight. Give me one drop tonight till the morning shows a face to me. One drop tonight. Shows a face to me. One drop
The Gertrudes with a track called Six Jars. Something about that track spells the end of summer for me. So I wanted to throw that in there as a little colorization of our show, or speaking of the end of seasons right now, facing winter as the snow is falling the past couple days and chilling us to the bone in some respects. Yes. I've been chilled as well. So, the Gertrudes, Six Jars, a couple of Canadian kids, a bunch of Canadian kids actually, hanging out, playing some music, incorporating several different instruments. One guy plays the theremin and does some spectral processing in there. So, some more Kelstra music coming out of Canada. Very new, actually, the Gertrudes, that album. So
it's very soulful.
Yeah. On to something we like to call on this show, something that's been happening for the last few weeks now, something that I look forward to all the time, Jay's Latin Segment.
He was a tough street cop.
Not fair. None of it.
Then she made him an offer.
You want me to do a radio show?
He couldn't refuse.
Jay.
Yes, sir. I got one for you today. Got one for all our listeners, not just for you, Chris. It's for everybody. And I'm giving it to you. Here it is. Mensrea. This is such a fundamental Latin term. You can't get too far in the law without it. Mensrea. Latin for the guilty mind. Usually coupled with another goodie. Actus reus. Which is the criminal act. Two things usually need to be established when proving that that a criminal act has happened, not just that it has happened, but that the person who committed the act intended to commit it. So it comes from a longer maxim, actus non facit reum nisi mens sit rea, which means the act does not make a person guilty unless the mind is also guilty. Why do we choose this one today? Well, of course, we go back to our friend, Mr. Carl Anderson, who was arrested on November 1st, this Mr. Anderson does not believe that he committed a criminal act. He believes he, rightly, I would say, I'm going to put myself out there, mm-hmm. that he is helping people with medical illness. And so my question that I put to one of our professors today, well, if you don't believe that you're committing a crime, mm-hmm. in good faith you don't believe you're committing a crime, not just that you kind of just disagree with the law, but that you do not believe that your act is criminal.
Yeah.
Does that not erode the argument that that your criminal act has happened?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he laughed at me, and he said, I don't know, Jay, and he cited a list of cases that I should familiarize myself with, not least of which was Malmo Levine, yeah. a famous case from 1996, which involved actually two concurrent cases that involved individuals who were advocates of marijuana use, we'll say.
Yeah.
And who... And in the end, the Supreme Court of Canada said, no, I don't think so, guys. Their argument was that, well, there's a lot. It's a 200-page case, which I have not read yet.
But what's the one thing that turned? It has a funny appeal to
it. It is kind of funny. And they kind of said that smoking marijuana or having a flavor, a taste for marijuana, is like a substance orientation akin to... Section 15 of the Charter grounds of sexual orientation, that basically smoking marijuana is like having a sexual orientation.
You're born that way?
That you're born that way, and obviously the court threw that out. Mm. So I would just say that I think that there's actually difference, there's distinction that can be drawn between Malmo Levine and the situation that we're talking about here. Malmo Levine was about recreational use of marijuana and small amounts of possession. This is about the dispensing of marijuana to individuals who are ill, who are suffering from illness, and I just don't think that a direct correlation can be drawn between the two cases.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So mens rea. So we've got two issues here. The first, I would say, that we've already discussed, Chris, how the regulations seem to be a little bit confusing, that it might be difficult for a person to actually understand what the law is.
Yeah.
I can actually see our professor smiling right now when I say that.
So
that
shaking his head.
That's probably going to fall apart. Ignorance of the law is not, of course, an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Although
fair notice is.
Although the court has found that ignorance of the law or mistakes of the law, when the misunderstanding is in good faith, can be used as a defense.
Yes, it doesn't get you off, but it can be used as a defense.
And then separate from that, of course, is this other issue that you fundamentally believe that you're not committing a crime.
Mm-hmm.
The answer to that was, well, then what about people who don't believe that maybe honor killings is a crime?
There's a very, there's kind of a very prominent case that's coming to, that's being heard right now in Quebec regarding two honor killings that happened in the Rideau Canal.
Right, and they said that, well, that could be used for any crime. You can say, well, I don't believe that what I just did was a crime. And I said, well, you know, honor killings, 1.5 million Canadians are not engaged in honor killings. But we do know that 1.5 million Canadians do admit to recreationally smoking marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
As many as 15% of Canadians, when polled, admit to have smoked marijuana within the last year.
Yeah.
So that doesn't speak directly to... the issue of medical marijuana and licensing dispensaries,
mm-hmm.
but I think it talks about broadly the policy questions around this.
Right, 1.5 million Canadians cannot fit inside jails. I guess we could say there's no way you could go about incarcerating 1.5 million people.
And surely those 1.5 million Canadians probably don't think that the system that we have right now is fair.
I guess so. Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to smoke,
I can't speak for them.
If you're going to smoke marijuana recreationally, surely you would believe that it should be available for people who are sick and who by using it as a treatment are benefiting from it.
Certainly.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, it's not just those 1.5 million Canadians. Let's talk about Canadians as a whole too. There, in 2001, the National Post did a survey, and in this they found that 65% of their respondents,
mm-hmm.
these are National Post readers, mind you, believe that...
not saying anything about National Post readers.
No, but we are talking about one of our conservative media outlets, one of our great conservative media outlets, and 65% of respondents in a Compass poll say that decriminalizing marijuana is either an excellent, a very good, or a good idea. Hmm. Only 22% of respondents responded negatively. Hmm. Since then, there has been a 47% increase amongst Canadians in favor of legalization or decriminalization.
Wow.
So this begs the question. What are our policymakers thinking?
Clearly, they're not considering the facts, I guess, or they're not considering perhaps the opinions of Canadians. They're weighing their policy choices with other mandates.
I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
I think somebody had told me maybe Stephen Harper never got invited to smoke a joint.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. I can feel.
Maybe he could call us up and tell us, huh? Sure.
I'm feeling that my soapbox is about to crack here.
Yeah, crumbling soapbox.
Something about this issue really gets me.
Really gets you. Well, Latin segment segued back into the main thing, but mens rea.
Mens rea.
Actus rea.
Actus reus.
Diarrhea.
I got one more PSA here. I thought I should read. Thought it was apropos.
Yes.
The Kamloops Quit Smoking Support Group is a small organization of people who are in the process of kicking the nicotine habit, and the members are always open to expanding the group. They meet Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 in the Dog Leash Room at Kamloops United Church, 421 St. Paul Street. Everyone is welcome to attend.
Excellent. Thanks.
That's if you're trying to quit smoking cigarettes.
Cigarettes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, you're listening to Loopholes on CFBX 92.5 FM. Perhaps you're tuning in over the web at www.vx.ca, where this charming little radio program is broadcast to the world. CFBX is the campus community radio station in Kamloops, British Columbia.
We say www.vx.ca.
www.vx.ca.
That's where you would go if you're
tuning in from outside the Kamloops area.
Yeah.
Yeah. The very metropolitan Kamloops area, because it's, I don't know if we'd reach such areas as far as Barnhartville or some of those areas. We may not reach the Ajax mine, I wonder.
Oh.
The proposed Ajax mine. Topic for another day?
Maybe. Maybe.
The Stop the Ajax mine had a meeting on November 7th, I think it was, and they produced a rendering or a presentation, a picture of some kind of a representation of what the Ajax mine might look like if the project actually went through, and it's quite shocking. I urge you to Google it, find it somewhere on the web. It's there, and I know that because I found it, and take a look at it. It's quite shocking.
I think that'd be a great show to have some guests to help inform the discussion. Otherwise, yes, well, it might just be me up on my soapbox again.
we'll find some greater authorities. We'll reach out into the community, and we'll talk to people. We'll get their opinions. We've about 5 minutes to four here on CFBX 92.5 and Loopholes. This is the show. Got a track to close the show out, I guess. But before then, anything you'd like to add, Jay?
No, power to the
personally.
People.
power to the people. We thank you for listening. We're going to close the show out with Jimmy. Nice. I'm sure he was known to engage in some medical marijuana use in his day.
I'm sure it was medical.
And for myself and Jay, we hear our A train a coming. This has been another edition of Loopholes on CFBX 92.5 FM.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Jay.
Station. shame you. My building called me a disgrace. Dear, but tears burning, tears burning me, tears burning me, way down in my heart. Well, you know it's too bad, little girl, it's too bad. Peace to you.
This is CFPX 92.5 FM, Campus Community Radio, in and serving Kamloops, British Columbia.